Hey guys, welcome to another episode of What Women Binge. Guys, we have a really special one today. We are so excited to welcome our friend Sheryl Crow.
Yay! It finally happened.
You need no introduction. Like, I don't even need to tell anybody what your body of work is or anything. But here's what I will say. I know that this is going to air on Wednesday, but it is noon on Tuesday. So I feel like we need to go have a bottle of Bud with Billy at the bar.
Yes, that is right. And the old, I like a good beer buzz early in the morning. Not really.
Yes.
Not so much.
Yeah. And Billy likes to peel the labels from his. So here's the thing about that song. Was that your first hit? Was that your first big, like?
Yes, that was my first big hit. They put out two songs before that. One of them was called Run Baby Run, which everybody was like, that's going to be the big hit. And it tanked. And then they put out Leaving Las Vegas, which was really big at what they called AAA radio.
Okay.
But then when All I Want to Do came out, which I totally thought was a throwaway. Like, I was like, this should not go on the record. It's just kind of a throwaway track. That became the big hit.
Really? That's crazy.
That was awesome.
I mean, and that song spoke to me in so many ways. I really thought you knew my dad, Billy, who likes to drink Budweiser.
Oh my God. That was hilarious.
Like, I mean, he's from New York. I'm from New York, but I was working in LA when the song came out and I was like, no, he would definitely be down on Santa Monica Boulevard. Like, if he was visiting me, he might be your buddy at the bar watching the people cleaning their cars. Like, that might've been my dad.
I would love to say that I did hang out with your dad at the Foremost Cafe across from the car wash and had Budweiser's. But the crazy thing about that is I did not write all those lyrics.
Oh, really?
They were written by a guy named Wynn Cooper, and it was a poem. And I started like just reading and like acting out this poem to this track and thinking that, well, I'll just rewrite the lyrics, which I did four different times. And none of them had the initial spirit of it. And that was one of the reasons I was like, nah, I don't know if it should go on the record, you know?
Oh,
and
then, yeah.
You know, Wynn Cooper made a lot of money.
Good.
That's
good. Yeah.
He's for both of you.
He's a college professor in Vermont. So there you go.
Wow. There you go.
Awesome. I know.
And then you went on to have this massive career. Another song that really resonates in my family, of course, is I have three boys. So Cars was, I mean...
Yeah.
That's our biggest streamed song.
Really? Real good.
Yeah.
It's Isn't that so funny? Good. It's so fun. And I love doing the part, especially because in Cars, it's always like, I think it's like a camper van that goes, oh, that
part. there's the cutest Instagram feed of this little boy. I don't know whose kid it is, but it just made me laugh and cry because I miss my kids being that age. Of him, they show him, you know, in the back of the car and in, you know, in the floor and all these different places hearing that song. And every time he's like, he didn't even talk yet. And I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I put in there.
I know. It's so great. That's my favorite. Like, I'll be driving along. The kids are all singing. I'll go, oh, that's like my part. That's my part. Cause I can't sing. So that's where I add my little. So thank you for that for me as well. He's a cute little boy.
You know, I feel like every little boy in America had a Cars phase. Riker certainly did. They were all lined up.
It's weird. I play for like 30-year-olds now. I mean, obviously, and up. And all of them know that song. And I think it's because they all grew up with that movie. It was huge. And the funny thing about it is when they first sent me the script for it and they sent me some of the some of the film, but it wasn't edited yet. And it wasn't like, they didn't have all the sound effects and no music. I was just like, yeah, I don't really get it. It seems kind of cheesy. And I'm just like, I don't think it's going to be a very big movie. And then, you know.
Well, I think that way about the preview. I remember watching the preview and being like, Cars that talk with their eyes on the windshield. Like, that's stupid. And, you know, I felt like, but then having boys. Like, thank God they put that movie out because Pixar like saved me from when I grew up with all sisters. So like seeing what Pixar was doing, it made me go, oh, my boys can watch. There is television or movies for entertainment for my boys.
Yeah.
So
thank
God for the Cars movies and the Toy Story movies and all that Pixar did. So you have two
my
boys.
Kids watch them over and over and over. And then we had all the little figures and everything. And it really wasn't until much later that they realized that that song was their mom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the best.
Yes. That was
the best. I told my kids I was talking to the Real Gone singer today. And they were just like, what? Of course the older ones know
The only time I've been cool with my kids.
It's hard. It's hard to win those boys over, especially, right?
Well, yeah. When they're teenagers, it's like, just don't embarrass me. Just, mom, just try to just not embarrass me.
How old are yours now?
Mine are 16 and 13.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, they're big. I am so blessed. I mean, honestly, I am so blessed. My boys are adopted. They're very close. They're just great. They're great kids. They're fun and funny, and they're just good boys.
They really are sweet boys. I have met them on several occasions, and both of them, such great manners, so respectful, so sweet to one another.
It's because I beat the holy heck out of them. I'm kidding.
Boys sometimes, I've seen one of them running around like football games and stuff, right? Is one of them like really goofy? Yes. Do you have goofy kids? Like mine love to be like big time jokers, but I feel like yours do too.
Yes, I have one that is into all sports at all times, and I think he's planning on either being in the NBA or the MLB. I don't know if he's decided which one yet.
Wow.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. He's going to, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's occurred to him that you probably need to be over 6 feet to play basketball, but I don't know.
Dream big. Dream big.
Yeah, okay, the Lord has done stranger
things. Manifest.
Exactly. Manifest.
And then my other one's on the fishing team. So, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Very different boys.
That's very cool too.
But love each other, which is good. Cause I've struggled with my boys. Like they only became friends. My 18-year-old and my 16-year-old only just became friends recently, which was really hard for me. And they were when they were really little. And then the older one went through this phase of being competitive with the little one. Not the littlest one annoys both of them, but the middle one and couldn't get his older brother's attention. Like Brady couldn't get Mason's attention to save his life. Like he would try everything. He would give him money. He would do any chore he wanted him to do for him. And he couldn't win his brother's affection. And Mason was just brutal to him, like telling him all the time how lame he is and all this stuff. And I'm like, you know, someday you guys are going to be best friends. But then I started to panic that they weren't going to be best friends.
Oh, they were.
Now they just in the last like few months became buddies. And I was like, oh, it's such an answer prayer.
Yeah, I'm convinced. I mean, you know, family is so, I guess it's top down, you know, with my family, my parents raised me that you are in this life together and that God wasn't haphazard about the selection, you know, we got put in the families, we got put in for very distinct reasons and we traveled through this life together. And I tell my kids that all the time. You guys absolutely love each other, except for when you can't stand each other. And even when you can't stand each other, you love each other. So that's what you do, you know, and even, you know, in every relationship that matters to you throughout your life, you will have moments where you think, I cannot believe I'm even friends or related to this person, but you love them, you know, you love them. You can't imagine your life without them. So
it's true. I got in a huge fight. My brother is like the peacekeeper in our family. He's the only boy with six sisters. Seven sisters. And he is just like the glue that keeps us together, the peacemaker and all these things. And then the other day he was getting pissy with me on text and I called him, which usually defuses it right away. And it actually made it worse. And I ended up like hanging up on him and being like, forget it. I never want to talk to you again. But I, you know, a few minutes later he was like, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called you an idiot. And I was like, all right, good. Like, you know, so
okay, I love you. I love you again.
Never mind. I knew this was going to work out. We're fine.
So you never outgrow the sibling dynamic is what you're saying here.
Never. Just like you never outgrow being the parent. And I mean, my dad is 93 now and he still worries like, well, I think you're working so hard and are you getting enough sleep? And I'm like, Dad, I'm 62.
Wait, you know. What?
But look, you're like 35, by the way.
Oh my God, you look so sweet. You are very sweet.
I'm serious.
Carol, how is this possible?
Yeah.
I have been around. I've been on this earth for, my kids say I was born in the 1870s, so I'm not that old.
That's so mean. No, you look phenomenal. Before you actually came into our little chat scenario here, Melissa was like, how is it possible that she is older than me and I look older than her?
That is so not true, but I appreciate your thinking.
Okay.
It's amazing.
And there's some magic happening there.
I've noticed too, when I see you out and about is like, I feel like I do this too. Like you kind of go under the radar. Like do people recognize you a lot out in public or are you able to just like have your kind of anonymity in a lot of cases?
I have a lot of anonymity. I mean, I never wear makeup, mainly because I just never liked it. When I was a kid, I never wore it. I was more of a, like a sports kid. And I don't really love the way it feels. And also, I can't be bothered. So I do. But I also think there's, I think energetically, you decide or you wield that. You know what I mean? Like, I know people that will make sure that you are aware they are there. No matter what. And that's not me. I like my life. I like my mom life. And then that other life that I have is great. When I'm working and I need to be able to manifest that bombast or whatever. But for me, the ego part of it is not, I don't know. It always really, I was conflicted with it always. I always was like a kid that wanted to be really great, but I wasn't that crazy about being famous. So the fame thing has been weird for me.
Yeah. I can see that. I get that too. I agree with you on all the makeup stuff. If I have makeup on, if I'm done up or someone's done my hair or I'm wearing heels, people recognize me. But otherwise I'm like, I can walk around Disney World and be like, grocery store, like, you know.
Yeah. And you know what? I also think you can do you. I just think it's an energetic thing. You know, I mean, I can remember being around, you know, when I lived in LA and seeing a celebrity who didn't have any makeup on, but just energetically, they could make their presence so big that it was like, oh, okay, look, so-and-so's here, you know, in her ball cap and her, you know.
I was just with, I don't know if you know, my co-star from Sabrina all these years was Caroline Ray, who's a stand-up. So we were just doing some stand-up together last weekend in like Huntsville and Louisville. And it's so funny. We'll walk in a restaurant. Nobody recognizes me. And as soon as she walks in, everyone goes, Aunt Hilda. And then they sort of like look at the crowd and they see me. Like, I'm sort of the, it's so weird. Like, she always wears bright colors and her hair. She's tall too. Like, I think you and I are also like itty bitties.
Yes.
So like, she's tall and she's wearing bright colors. And she was always like, where's the restroom? And I'm like this. I mean, where's the bathroom? You know? So I can see, like, I feel
like I can vouch for both of you in real life scenarios. The first time I ever met you, Cheryl, I just knew you as Cheryl. I didn't realize until someone had told me later that you were Sheryl Crow.
Yeah.
I just knew you as Cheryl, the mom.
As Emmy Lou Harris says, I'm her.
You're her? And then Melissa, I mean, we met through a play date. Again, another very normal real life scenario. So I
tried to get my number from the school and they wouldn't give it to her. She couldn't figure out why.
I was like, why?
Oh, funny.
I invite all these kids.
Oh, that is funny. It's, I'm sure you agree with this, but it is a blessing to be successful. And, I know a lot of people that have worked as hard as I have that have not had the success I've had. And I do not take it lightly. And I do, you know, I've had struggles with it sometimes because I think as a sensitive person, sometimes you feel the weight of maintaining the popularity, and it's not a real thing, you know, and I can't imagine having to navigate it now with social media. I mean, to be able to go on and say, well, I posted that. Why didn't they like it? Or it's just, it's such a mind, it plays such bad games with your mind, you know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I feel so blessed that I've had 38 years of being able to do this job, which is a nice job. I mean, it's a fun job, you know?
And you're can fantastic say, at it.
Thank you.
When you walked on stage with Elton John in Nashville.
Yes. We were there.
We were your biggest fans in the room.
Like,
we've never been so excited for a single person in our whole life. That was such a cool moment.
You've had so many of those. Like, that is that. I mean, talk about a blessing. Like, to not only are you incredibly talented and have this massive career with like a billion. How many albums have you had now? Like 10, 12?
I think I've had 12 albums and then a live record. And we've been lucky. I mean, we've sold 50 million records. And the nice thing about it is that we know how many people own the music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so different now because nobody, you know, very few people buy records.
Everything's streamed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild. Well, and you have a new album out right now. Evolution. Evolution's the newest
one. Yeah. Yes. That's the new one. Yeah.
I love, so Do It Again. What's like the first release on it though? Because I don't listen to the radio anymore, so I don't know releases. Like
I know. Well, it came, the whole album came out in, I think it was April 29th. I think that's right. Oh, okay. Yeah, April 29th. And then I think before that, they would put a song out to radio. But, you know, it is, it's all different now. And I just really pretty much don't pay too much attention to it. Everything's streaming and... It's a funny thing. Like you don't get paid unless they listen to more than 30 seconds of your song. And not many people listen to more than 30 seconds of the song anyway. So it's just, it's such a weird thing.
Really?
So, I write and record because I love it, you know, and this record, and you guys know, you watch the world change and you watch your, I don't know. You scratch your head over the way people are acting sometimes and you go, gosh, where are we going? You know, what's happening with this world and what are my kids going to have to deal with? Okay. And then for me, instead of going to a therapist, I wind up going to my cup of coffee and a guitar and a notepad and just trying to like make sense of it. And then I have a whole album.
So. That's amazing.
Oh, I wish I had an outlet like that. That's so amazing. Like I'm just a meat puppet. I just have to do what people tell me to do. Like I say what they tell me to say. I wear what they want me to wear.
Meat
like,
puppet.
I'm a meat. That's what Sean Astin calls it. I'm a
that
meat
is
puppet.
The worst.
I know. But it's very, just like, where do you want me to stand? And what do you want me to say? Like, I love that outlet. Like that's why I like directing better because of that. But I started doing some stand-up this weekend just because I wanted some control.
How was it? I forgot to ask you. How was it?
It was fun. It was crazy because we did 4 shows in 2 days and like, it was weird for me though, because I'm used to memorizing lines. So being able to kind of riff and I'm not good at that. So I did the first one. And then the second one, Caroline wanted me to change my order and I got lost and forgot the order to tell the stories in.
Oh no.
So then the third show, I got that order right. But the fourth show, I started like adding, she was like, you need to play with it. You need to talk and feel the audience and say different things here and there. And I was like, I don't know how to do that. I have to just
like, I am trying to survive this moment.
Oh, I need to do lines. Like, yeah, but it was fun. It was exciting, but it felt more like creative. It felt like a good way to connect with my fans. Like I do a lot of the Comic Cons and that's wonderful to meet the fans and stuff, but it also feels a little like I'm taking money for autographs and pictures. Like it just feels a little yucky. So like to be able to go up and entertain and do like what I want to do, like make people laugh. And then also for me to get the applause and then like be like, see ya, peace out. Like that's what, I don't know, us entertainers, like that felt more authentic to who I am. And so it was interesting, like being able to perform live and feel that crowd and stuff. So.
Yeah. Cause you want to make the connection. You were so brave to do it. I would have had to have a teleprompter because my mind, if I get flustered, I mean, I'll notice that when I'm singing something I've sung for 30 years, I'll go, oh my gosh, I forgot I've got to call so-and-so. And then it's like, oh, where am I? You know, I can't imagine trying to do stand-up, but how cool is that? You should do more of that.
I'm going to try. It's so weird though, saying the same thing over and over again too, because you also feel like you're ripping yourself off.
Yeah.
Well, nobody else heard this, but did they?
Right.
Yeah.
You gotta think, every comedy show you ever go to, it is a rehearsed, practiced recitation of this. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
Well, I think when you go to like the small clubs, they're like workshopping. I think some of the terminology is like workshopping to be able to do like the big special or a big event and the great thing is people can't record it. So, you know,
unless you're me and you sneak it.
Unless you're Amanda and she sneaks it, and then I can listen to it back and be like, what did I do right and wrong? Yeah.
I wondered about that because, with cell phones, it'd be hard to ever have anything fresh because people will be able to. But do they take the phones?
Sometimes they take the phones, but they make a big announcement and there's security watching. So if anyone pulls up the phone, although at one of the clubs, I noticed a woman picking up a phone. I was like, she's got a phone and the security's not getting her. I realized she was the mom of the club owner. So. That's why
she's allowed.
She wasn't videoing, she was texting somebody, so it was fun.
Oh my god, I have this is so tangential to that, but I can remember playing, I can't remember where we were, but I was playing and it was a sit down gig. And I see, and it's tables, I think it must have been a corporate or something. But I look back, and this woman has an iPad and she's on eBay while I'm playing. And I could see it, and I literally was like, oh my god, what are you looking at? I love
you
eBay.
Call her out?
Yes. Awesome. I was like, I love eBay. Yeah, bring it out. I got to see what you're looking at.
Are we getting like a vintage lamp or like what?
Yeah,
are we...
exactly.
That's so funny. That's like, that just reminded me of, I was in Paris in the Louvre, and with one of my kids was willing to wait in line and go see the Mona Lisa. The rest like saw it from the back, like, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But one of my sons was like, I'll wait with you. And we're like working our way up, and they like, you walk up to the rope, and then at the rope, they take the rope away and the front line goes around. So you kind of move up.
Yeah.
So we were like two from the back, and my son's like, I was like, wait, stand here so I can get a picture. But I couldn't get a picture of him because a woman in front of me was taking, I thought she was taking a picture of the Mona Lisa, but when I looked at her screen, she was taking a selfie of herself standing in the crowd with butterflies around her and stuff. And I was like, when this woman's done taking a selfie of herself, she's standing in front of one of the greatest pieces of art. And she's like selfieing herself, Snapchatting herself with butterflies instead of like looking at the art or even capturing it with her phone for later or whatever. I was like, what people, some people, man, they just can't be present.
I know. I just, sometimes I just going to go, will you just put that thing down? Just put it down.
Put it right down.
Yeah. I am that person at concerts or when we go on trips as a family, I'm terrible about taking pictures, but it's because I am intentional about being present with my family. And in those moments, it drives me bananas when we go to concerts or things like that. And people just have their phone in front of them the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you actually going to go back and watch that on your
fireworks
phone?
Fireworks too. Yeah. Fireworks. Like I remember trying to capture all the fireworks and you're like, you can't capture fireworks on a, like, I still try something.
And I'm like, have that memory.
Watch. Like, yeah.
Yes.
You're missing it when you're looking through the screen, right?
I think I have a pretty good shot of the eclipse through the clouds. And literally I'm like, well, I missed the eclipse. Because I was taking a picture of it.
So, Amanda, you know how it's really hard to find the perfect t-shirt? It can be such a challenge. Like, I've had problems, whether it's the fit or the quality. It's really, really, really hard to find the perfect t-shirt. But do you know where I found one?
Questions that you're about to say Skims.
With our best friends at Skims. We've got some great t-shirts. They're amazing. From crop silhouettes to long sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everybody.
My personal favorite is the soft smoothing seamless t-shirt. It goes under everything. Like, everything.
I've been rocking the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx. That's been my go-to.
I seriously wear this thing every day under blazers, under jackets, by itself. We're now in the spring. It's getting warmer. And this thing, you're just going to see it on repeat day after day.
I also have my cotton jersey t-shirt in Kynite. And I mean, it fits like a dream. It's just, I can't stop wearing the shirt.
It's so soft. It hides everything in a good way, you know, because, you know, post winter, I might be looking a little fluffier than I was before, but I feel like it smooths everything out. Just makes everything lay right. I look good in my jeans. I look good in my leggings. It's my fave. Well,
and all of our listeners can shop at Skims in the t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes XXS, that's extra, extra small, all the way to 4X.
And you get free shipping on orders over $75.
Yeah, so if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show, that's What Women Binge, in the drop-down menu that follows.
And we will see you all soon. Thanks, Skims, for sponsoring What Women Binge.
I have to say, so on Evolution, I Do It Again. I love Do It Again. That is such a fun song.
That is literally my motto. It was the easiest song on the record. And I mean, I've been very vocal about mental health and my own genetic struggles and my struggles with, I take on the weight of the world. I mean, some of us do that, right? We get weighted down with things we can't fix. And so I've done a lot of work and I've gone through a lot of different modalities. You know, I am a big meditator, although not in the sense of like Buddhist meditation. I'm strictly mindfulness. And I do find that if I quiet my mind, I'm able to feel and hear God's plan for me, as opposed to the way we commonly pray, which is, can you do this and can you do that? And I love you. And could you do this and could you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, there is a great argument for, you know, the Bible talks about meditations of our heart. We do need to learn, especially now with phones and everything, to quiet our minds so that we can actually hear what Spirit's telling us. And I started doing it like 27 years ago. I went and studied with this woman in Boston, Sharon Salzberg, who has written lots of books on conscientious meditation, mindfulness, loving kindness. And it was a game changer. And the thing for me is that it has, I think it's lengthened my life. It's lengthened the moments and the minutes of my day. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like the minutes are shrinking. You know, it's just like, I can't believe how fast life is going. But meditation has been something that's really helped me. So that song is really just about, you know, it's about the journey and sort of the craziness that we attach ourselves to. And we sometimes use it to separate ourselves from other people, you know, belief systems and that kind of thing, when God's just a loving God, you know? So that was the whole point of the song. And I tell my boys every day, I'm like, you know what? So you got a 64 on that math test. Tomorrow's a new day. You get a total do-over.
Do it again.
Tomorrow is a totally new day.
Yeah.
And you get to start at the very beginning and write that day, you know?
Yeah. I love that one. Also, Digging in the Dirt, was that, is that a complete
cover?
I wanted to go back and listen to.
It's a cover?
It's a cover of Peter Gabriel. And
but is he singing in it? Cause he's listed on the.
Yes. He's singing in it. He's singing in a section that says, "Digging in the dirt, stay with me, I need support." And you can hear him in there. And he sounds so good.
And he re-recorded it? Like he re-recorded it, or you sampled it?
No, I emailed him and said, "I'm going to record this song because it means so much to me." And, you know, I'm a person that really does feel the power of God in nature. I think most people.
Yes.
Probably do. Mm-hmm. My dad struggled with believing in anything except for, he said, I can align myself with the pantheists or pantheism, which is that God exists in all things created, especially nature. And I was like, okay, all right, Dad. So when I hear that song, I think, yeah, when we're digging in the dirt, we're going back to our essence, but we're also digging in to find out where is the damage, where is the hurt, you know? And that song just really meant a lot to me. So I emailed him and said, "I'm going to do this song. I hope you like it." And I sent it to him, and he said, "I love it so much." And he sent his a vocal on it, and I was like, "Yes,
yes, very cool."
Yeah,
it's a great version. It's so good. But broader strokes, I wanted to ask you. So I like so wish I could be a songwriter. So wish I could sing. I can't do it. I mean, I did Masked Singer, and that was my worst nightmare.
He did great.
I'm gonna have to go back and look at it. I never seen it.
Really, like, I don't know. It's weird. Anyway, I want to know. Like, there's just a few little things I want to know before we get into what you binge. Okay. So, like. What's your process of songwriting? Is it literally like what you said before? Like you get worked up about something and you sit down with a cup of coffee and a guitar and that. So you do, but do you play the piano also? Cause I know your sister was my son's piano teacher for a while.
Yes. I got my degree in classical piano. but I could play by ear. So I was never going to make it as a classical pianist because I could basically hear the piece and then fake my way through it, having heard it once or twice.
How's it feel to be God's favorite, Cheryl?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
And also, I didn't have the discipline. Because, I mean, if you're going to be a classical pianist, you really need to be able to practice for 5 or 6 hours. And I'd be, like, falling asleep on the piano. And, you know, I was in cover bands. And so, but now when I write, you know, I'm a get it done during school hours. You know, in the old days when I was young, I was, you know, I was talking about working with Stevie. I mean, I would start in the studio like at 6 at night and go until 4 in the morning. And I never thought I could write a song and that was any good unless I was totally heartbroken and had had 2 glasses of wine, you know. And, you know, I think songwriting is like everything else. Everybody can learn how to craft a song. I mean, there's certain rules and certain tricks. There are always going to be people that are better at it than others. But the difference in being a songwriter and infusing your life's perspective and your experiences in a poetic way is what I think delineates between the artistry and the craftsmanship. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of at a point now where I try to meet my craftsmanship with what's on my mind and heart. I mean, it is, for me, it is a little bit like going to church. It's a little bit like, you know, there is something sacred in it now because I am my age and because I'm not writing for radio. I'm not writing in hopes that I'm going to get 10 million streams. You know, my record came out the same day Beyonce's did, and I'm sure she was very worried. you know, it's sort of like, I'm doing it for myself now. And I want my kids to be proud of me, you know?
Yeah. Well, I love that. And like artists, I think you just have to keep creating or you just, yes. You know,
I feel like what you said about how you feel like, some of those things can be taught, especially in songwriting. I feel like any art form is the same in that. I went to art school. I'm a hands-on creative. So if I can dream it up, I can make it. But it's different than music. But I feel like anybody can learn to draw. Anybody can learn to sculpt. And yes, there are people who have a natural gifting towards it, of course. And there's going to be people who are better at it than others. But it is something, if you put your mind to it, I think anybody could do it.
Yeah, but I think what has set you apart is that you bring your, you know, they always say that life informs art, and you bring your life into it, and then that's what makes you unique. You know, that's one of the things that, like with AI, I'm getting ready to go to DC and testify on behalf of artists, and I wrote with this great young songwriter when I was making this record, and she's had lots of hits, and she played me this demo that she had done with a couple of Nashville songwriters guys. And she's like, I always write songs and I sing the demo, and then no guy ever wants to cover the song. So I decided I'm going to put a male voice on it. So she paid $5 on the internet and had John Mayer sing it.
Oh my God.
And she played it for me. And I was just like, it's could scary. Not tell. And I know John, I could not tell. Ooh. It scared me so bad. I got like really shaken up. And I was like, this is where, you know, this is what scares me, you know?
Yeah.
And talking about art, we have to have the humanity and the spirit in it. I mean, that's all the way back to hieroglyphics. We've documented who we are at any moment in our evolution through our art, you know? And then once you start bringing in artificial intelligence, it's game over.
Like my kids are looking at a picture of a lion. Is it like, it would really bother me to find out that wasn't a lion that they're looking, you know, I don't know. There's something like, and some people say they can see it in the eyes of a photograph or something. I'm like, I can't see the difference.
And that's, I can't normally,
I don't want my kids looking at a picture of a lion. That's not a lion. That just like feels so wrong in so many ways.
Yeah. I mean, one of my kids' friend's dad, who's in the film business here in Nashville, showed me a clip where he basically put in what he wanted this guy to look like and what he wanted the spaceship to look like and what the backdrop would be, kind of like what ChatGPT does. He explained everything and then it sent it back to him and it looked like the most beautiful film that was ever shot, but it was not a real person. If I thought everybody had a spiritual moral center, I wouldn't be worried for humanity. But
scripture says we don't.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And wherever the golden cow exists, people will be wowed by the golden cow. You know, they will be.
Gosh, that's so true.
So, and that's, anyway, it's, but I do have a lot of hope and faith. Like in my kids' generation and your kids' generation, in that they're growing up with this and they will be able to know what they don't want their kids to have to endure or live through. I think they'll be the ones who are able to say, because I'm not going to have any effect over my kids when I say, you know, you've been on Instagram 20 minutes, that's too long. Mom, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's going to have to come from.
They will, because they will have suffered the, you know, what it does. So,
like how we can teach them about the effects of smoking cigarettes or something, they can, you know. So
yeah,
you know, it'll be interesting. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, Amanda, I am heading on a girls' trip tomorrow. And first of all, I'm so sorry that I'm not bringing you.
Okay.
We would have a blast. But I'm so excited because you know what I'm bringing with me?
What?
I'm bringing my pair eyewear. You know why? Because I want to be reading on the beach, but I also want to snap on the front frames, the sunshades.
Well, you can have them in every color that you want to match all of your swimsuits and all of your resort wear.
Exactly. I'm bringing bright pinks and ombres and all kinds of fun colors.
Are you just bringing your sun tops or do you have your readers and blue blockers too?
I'm bringing all of them. I have my blue blockers in my readers and I will snap on my sun tops and it's awesome. And it's also awesome because you get infinite possibilities and it starts at just $60, including your prescription.
And with their sun top collection, you can protect your eyes and style without paying extra for prescription sunglasses. It is awesome. And plus you get 15% off by using the code BINGE at PairEyewear.com.
You can browse the top frames and see all the different designs, collections. You can figure out so many different ways to just make your glasses part of your look.
You know what my favorite thing about the Pair Eyewear website is, though? The virtual try-on. Because I thought, yes, I only look good in one style of glasses. But until I went on Pair's website and tried them on for myself, I now have two different styles of Pair frames, plus all the toppers to go with them. I just snap on my style each day. It's so good.
Yeah, so you can step into the spring sunshine with a snap. Sun top frames start at just $30. And they're wide frames to fit every face. They have new designs that drop every month, including fun collabs.
And you get free standard shipping and a flexible 30-day return policy if you, for some reason, don't like it, which
yes,
there's no way you're not going to like this. So, one pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PairEyewear.com and use BINGE, B-I-N-G-E, for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that What Women Binge sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code BINGE.
Well, I have superficial questions. I want to know what your favorite song is. Like, I want to know what your favorite and your least favorite songs are to perform. Like, is there one that you feel like you have to perform that you've done too many times and you're like, I just don't connect with this song anymore?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I have a love-hate relationship with All I Want to Do.
Okay.
I mean, it's not a song that I felt like when I put it out, this was like my artistic statement. But I forevermore have to sing it. And not only do I have to sing it, but people want to hear it the way it was done on the record.
Right.
But then on the flip side, I go, but that song took me to Tel Aviv and it took me to St. Petersburg or Moscow. Yeah. It took me to Tokyo and Kuala Lumpur and to Bogota and to Buenos Aires. I mean,
right,
it's taken me to every state in the United States with the exception of Alaska. So it's like, I can't say I hate it because we don't say the word hate in the crowd house. I strongly don't enjoy it.
We don't hear either.
All the time.
I strongly dislike something.
Yes.
And do you always have to do it as a closer or can you sometimes?
No, we stick it in. You know, we'll slip it in. And I've been so bold as to put it in like a medley, like what Prince used to do. And people are like, No, we want the whole song.
Okay?
Play the money, play the song.
Play the whole song for me.
Yeah.
Dance Monkey.
And what's your favorite?
Exactly.
What's,
I'm like,
you know. At least you're not a meat puppet, though.
No, I'm not a meat puppet. I'm a different kind of puppet when it comes to that song.
What's your favorite one to perform?
I love doing I love playing My Favorite Mistake. I don't know why. It is a song that just plays itself. I've always enjoyed it. It's one of those songs that when I hear it on the radio, I don't necessarily turn it off. My other stuff, I'm like, yeah, no thanks. But that one I enjoy. And then performance-wise, I love playing I Shall Believe, which was, mm-hmm, it was on the first record and it wasn't a big hit, but we used to end with it always. And I don't know, it felt like a nice spiritual way to end an evening, you know? And it was always, every night it's always different. So I do enjoy that.
What's the song? Strong Enough, right? Mm-hmm. Strong Enough. Mm-hmm. That song is, I knew it was enough. I'm like, what's the, Strong Enough is like, yes. Oh my gosh, that song, when that came out and like, whenever I feel, oh, like I want to get weepy, like I want to be,
yeah,
like an emotional, tender spot. Like that song is such a powerful song.
Oh, I love such that.
Cool. That one's really amazing.
I love looking out and seeing men sing it. Because they'll always be like with their wife and they'll just be singing along. And I just want to go, I love that you're man enough to sing this song.
Yes.
Standing next to your wife and she's belting it out with tears in her eyes and you're singing along. I'm just like, you are man enough. You are.
I love that. And so, okay. So we have to get into what you binge. So what are, like, what inspires you first of all? And then from there, like, what do you enjoy as like your escapes and stuff?
It's funny. I don't really, I don't watch a lot of TV mainly because, you know, my kids determine, I mean, we watch a ton of sports. I mean, it's almost sports 24/7. Sometimes though, after they go to bed, I'll watch something. I got into an English show called, Slow Horses, which I loved. Gary Oldman and Kristen Scott Thomas. Awesome. And also another English show. My tour manager's English. So, he turned me on to this really sweet show called The Detectorist, and it just made me feel good.
I've never heard of that one.
It's British. It's called The Detectorist, and it's probably maybe 8 or 10 years old now, but it's worth watching. And then I love Ted Lasso. I mean,
What are we going to do without it? Like, because it's not, like, I don't know what to do with myself. Wait, like, I can't wait for it. Like, what am I doing?
I know. I tend to like shows that aren't going to make me stressed out because I feel like, okay, I don't need that. You know, I'm getting our floors redone. That's stressful.
I'm team no conflict over here. I get
yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Amanda won't watch. Yeah. I actually went through a phase where I watched something I never thought I would, which was Game of Thrones. And I mean, I binged that like I've never binged anything before after. And it was insanely wonderful. But, it really captured my imagination and it was twisted and everything was different. Nothing you expected to happen, but I like Amanda will not watch like no matter
it,
how
it
much
it takes me out does. Just thinking about all of
I can't. Yeah, I watched one episode of The Sopranos and I was like, no, can't do it.
I made like, it through the last season of The Sopranos with my husband. And that was a lot. I think once I had children, it got even worse.
Yeah.
There were some things I could watch that now I would never be able to do.
Yeah. I just watched, my husband made me watch, we watched The Equalizer, the movie with Denzel Washington last year. And then just the other day he made me watch number 2. And I mean, it is, there's parts in it that are so violent. It's like, I wanted to vomit. It was so violent.
Oh my God. Brutal. Yeah, I can't, that's not for me. I have to tell you, and I'm not proud of this, but during COVID, you know, it was the first time that I've not worked and had the guilt-free, unstressed out, like I should be working, everybody else is on the road. It was like, oh, okay, I'm home.
You're not allowed.
Yes. So, and my kids, we were doing homeschool, as you guys probably were as well. Doing it online. And then they would be like, can we play Fortnite? And I'm just like, no, absolutely not. Fortnite is, it's addictive. You can't. And I mean, 2 months in,
they're playing Fortnite.
They're like, we can't, that's the only way we can see our friends. They're playing Fortnite. And I'm sneaking off to my bedroom to watch Schitt's Creek.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, I never thought I'd watch Schitt's Creek. And I watched
it's
like
so funny though.
And I when it was over, I was like, no, I'm sad it's over. But I'm like, okay, quarantine can do a lot of crazy things to you.
It can make you do exactly
the opposite of what you say you're gonna do.
Yep. Yeah, we got these experiences that we didn't. I mean, I know it was painful for a lot of people and it like changed the structure of our entire world. But there's also like moments I can think to like, do you know who Marky Post was?
Yes, of course.
Wonderful actress from Court.
Yeah.
Court. Her daughter had just had a baby and the whole family came together and Marky was suffering with cancer and they came together around her and spent that like year with her. And she got a full, like, I want to say like 6 months to a year with her granddaughter before she passed away. And it was, you know, I think about things like that, like, had the pandemic not happened, that family wouldn't have had that experience or, you know, just like these quiet moments that allowed people to be together in that way.
Yes.
I mean, and the binging was real. I mean, that's why this came about because honestly, like what Women Binge started because my girlfriends in Connecticut were like group texting. What are we going to watch? What should I read? What podcast should I listen to on my walk? Which shows should I be binging? I'm out of ideas. And we started like creating ideas for, so, you know, just sending each other suggestions, because there's so much, there's so much content.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I told the boys the other day, I was like, we should find a movie and go to the movie theater. And I was just like, there's just, I mean, it's all on TV now, you know?
Exactly. That's my husband, in a couple weeks, it will be at home.
My husband's like, why? Can't we just stay in and watch it? I was like, no, I want popcorn. Like,
I want popcorn that I didn't make.
Also, I don't want to have my phone. Yeah, exactly. That's covered in butter. But I also don't want to have my phone. I don't want to, like, if I'm in my own house, I'm like, oh, the dog needs to be let out. Oh, I forgot to text that person. If I'm in the theater, it's like, this is my theater. This is my movie watching. Mm-hmm. I love that experience. I'm so glad that I came back.
And the car ride home where you're like, well, what'd you think? Oh, I thought it was this, that, and the other. And that guy was blah, 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 you know.
You've all watched. They've had to watch with you. Like my kids, a lot of time, we always say Sunday is pizza and a movie night.
Yeah.
And we're like, who wants to pick the movie? Who wants to pick the pizza? And like, we try to do it, but really our 11-year-old Tucker is the only one that comes with us. The other two are like, yeah, I'm going to go to my room and feed my reptiles and I'll see you in a little bit. And
yeah.
By the way, my son, Amanda, I don't know if you know this. Amanda's a huge animal lover. Turns out on Sunday while I was gone, my kids went and bought huge tanks. And now we have a caiman and a monitor lizard in the house, as well as two geckos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'm coming over.
We have a gator. We have an alligator in our house, Amanda. It's not.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you know what, Clarissa?
I know.
It's not the first time.
Oh my God, I should. So Cheryl, I don't know if you ever saw any of my shows, but I did this show called Clarissa Explains It All on Nickelodeon. She had a pet. It was a caiman, but we called it a pet alligator. So technically, I have the
baby pool.
We should have named it Elvis because it was.
Oh my God.
Why didn't you name it Elvis?
It's Mason's, and he named it. But Mark got furious, and we had to have a big talk yesterday about things that breathe are not allowed in this house anymore. Like we cannot.
Oh, he's turning it into a brain.
The thing was, I'm so happy to hear this because we have had everything from giant tortoises to right now we have a boa. We have like, we've had, what are the, oh my God, the big lizard,
the Komodo.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love all of them. I the only thing I'm not a fan of is I don't understand people keeping like spiders.
Me neither.
Mm-mm. Things with legs. No
and
good.
Snakes. Like
snakes are okay.
I have an appreciation and a respect for snakes. I would not choose them for myself.
Yeah.
But I can understand it. But the insects, I'm like, guys.
My kids, I mean, being boy moms, right? They like, they one time for Mother's Day, they literally like, they did this great thing. They left for like 2 hours. The oldest one took the other two and they went down to a pond to go turtle hunting. When they came back, they had a cage full of snakes and they wouldn't return. It was my Mother's Day present and they wouldn't return it until I touched them. So,
oh my gosh.
And then days later, I found them still in our playroom. I was like, I found more frogs around our house. Like the kids will go to bed and at night we'll hear croaking under the coffee table. We're like, what is that? Bucket full of frogs. Like,
my kids should come live with you. They would love that.
I can't believe our kids haven't like really hung out because I feel like they have a lot in
common. They would get along.
Yes, they would totally get along.
We need to do that. Well, yes. We have our like our season 10. This is still our season 10, even though we actually have like 20 episodes.
It should be season 12. But
it should be. But we want to ask you our like
good questions. Yes, so good. Okay, ask me.
All right. Is there a movie that you feel like you should have watched but you haven't yet?
Oh, yes, actually, there is a movie. I feel like I need to watch Killers of the Flower Moon.
Oh, yeah.
And I also feel like I should watch Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I haven't watched either one of them, and I know they're classics, but
they're
both of them.
They're conflicty, though. I'm just warning you. They're very conflicty. They hurt a little.
Oppenheimer not as much, I feel like, because it's, well, they're both historical, right? But Killers of the Flower Moon, man, that there is some stuff in there. You're like, wait, what happened here?
I know. It just makes you feel like just people are just bad. And I don't want to feel that way, you know? No. But we also have stuff in our history. And I just wasn't ready. I'm not ready to watch that, even though I'm very
aware.
That's
the girl literally wearing her Focus on the Good Things shirt.
Yeah.
I'm so on brand today.
Focus on all the good things. I love that.
I think Killers of the Flower Moon is an important one to watch. Oppenheimer, of course, too. But I feel like it's more, you could read Wikipedia and kind of understand what Oppenheimer, what happened there. But it is powerful to watch. You know what you might enjoy, too, because you're like a musical person and sounds and whatnot. Like, what's really interesting to me about Oppenheimer is the sound design in it. the times they chose to pull sound out when there should be sound. Like,
it doesn't go silent.
Yeah, it just goes silent right when the, like, it's just, it, there's some really interesting parts about how they chose to tell the story. But what I would do first is, like, look up Wikipedia and look up a little bit of the history. If you don't know it, that way. Yeah. I didn't know the history of, like, the Manhattan Project and stuff like that. So kind of like, because you start the movie and you feel like you missed 20 minutes. You're like, wait,
what? ADHD pause.
Yes.
Did you know that there is a Manhattan Project facility in Tennessee?
Really?
No.
I just found this out. Okay. So I promise.
Middle Tennessee, like
it's like between here and Knoxville, and it is. I found it on one of those apps like Atlas Obscura that like shows you like the random, you know, places around different towns when you travel. It's kind of fun to look up like what you're passing through. Oh, and I found it, and I will have to find a name and put it in the descriptor for this one. But
Oak Ridge. It's in Oak Ridge.
There it is. Yeah,
the brain just popped
okay. I'm gonna have to. I have to look that up. I am going to watch it. I do want, and I want to watch both of them. I started reading. I'm a huge reader, and I started reading Killers of the Flower Moon, and I just felt like at that moment I was like, I'm going to read. I'm going to finish it. I want to know about this. I want to know about the Tulsa
massacre. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I want to know all these things because they don't learn them in school.
No.
There's so much history, and every year, obviously, there's more and more history. But some of this stuff, you know, we're just not aware of.
Yeah.
So I do want to, but I have to brace myself. I have to prepare myself.
Yes. For
3 hours of just feeling like, ah.
You can take a break. We watched Oppenheimer in two pieces.
You did. Yeah.
Okay, is there a TV villain you love to hate?
You know, I was thinking about this. I think the last TV villain would have been Hannibal Lecter. Mainly because I read the books, and then Anthony Hopkins was so amazing.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
I love to hate him. And actually recently my 13-year-old and I watched Gladiator with Russell Crowe, and the character that Joaquin Phoenix plays is really hate him.
Caesar?
I forget about that movie. That is such a good movie.
I've actually never seen that movie. That's probably one on my list of movies I feel like I should have watched.
It's really interesting because it is historical. I mean, that is, you know, I was talking about the other day with a friend of mine about, you know, the UFC, the cage fighting.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like Gladiator, except these guys are volunteering to do it. They're not like held prisoner and somebody's going to die. They're actually going in hoping to kill the other person and get paid a ton of money for it.
They're
not killing, but just like really hurt them.
Really hurt.
It might be more.
Yeah, knock him out for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So you said you're a big reader. What's your favorite book genre?
I love historical fiction. Mm-hmm. I do. I just finished The Nightingale, and it's so
it's like one of my favorites.
So good.
So good. And All the Light We Cannot See, that's a great, I mean, I just love, I love feeling like I'm learning something, but.
Have you read Cloud Cuckoo Land yet?
No.
It's by the same author as All the Light We Cannot See.
Okay.
Unbelievable.
Okay. I'll read that next.
It's a good word.
Very quickly.
What'd you say?
Amanda reads very quickly. She's like really fast.
I love a book.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not a fast reader, but I'm always reading. Drives my kids crazy. They're like, why do you read? It's so boring.
I always felt that way until I became an adult. Like, I remember being forced to read in school and hating it. And then becoming an adult and realizing the joy and the escape that can come from reading and just being like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Me too. I mean, and the thing is I have to do it during the day because at night I'm so tired. I'll read two pages and then I'll read them again the next night. And, you know,
never get anywhere. Three pages forward, two pages back.
Exactly.
So here's an interesting one for you. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh gosh. That's a good question. Probably Sweet Home Alabama or what's the Foreigner song? When the lights go down in the city. Yeah, but I cannot tell you. I think I've gone and sung karaoke maybe twice in my whole life.
Can we go sing karaoke? Because A, to see everybody's faces when they realize, but B, also that it is so fun. Karaoke is so fun.
What's hilarious, Cheryl, is that like for my 46th birthday, when I first moved to Nashville, we went down to Broadway and we didn't really go to the honky tonks. What we did was we went to a karaoke. What was that place called?
It was in Printer's Alley.
In Printer's Alley, there's a karaoke bar. But we went two nights in a row and they wouldn't let us up on stage. I think the middle-aged women were not allowed to get on stage. Like, I don't know. We had our...
Melissa kept trying to bribe the DJ.
We like bought the staff drinks, like shots. So hopefully they would like let us up there soon. Cause we
have never been.
We didn't want to stay till 3 a.m. and it was like 1 a.m. We're like, can we just get up there, sing a song and we're going to go. But we never got up on stage and we never sang. We went two nights in a row. But what's hilarious is like in the city of Nashville, Music City, when you have all these honky tonks with incredible, mostly like unknown artists or huge artists, you can go to the Bridgestone, you can go see these artists, you can go to church and hear some of the most amazing singers in the world. Why are we going to karaoke to hear the ones that can't sing?
Because it's fun.
Why is that what you hate in Nashville?
It's fun. I'll tell you, one of the two times I've ever gone and sung karaoke was with Kid Rock and we did Picture.
Oh, really?
In Detroit. Yes, we were in Detroit. We were visiting. It was over the 4th of July and we turned up. We did a bunch of stuff. I think we did My Endless Love. I mean, really stupid.
Good.
We did Picture. So, you know.
That's awesome.
That's really fun.
Is there a reboot that you liked better than the original or vice versa? Maybe a reboot?
I really liked A Star Is Born, believe it or not.
Yes.
I thought they were so great. I liked the original one, but I loved it. I felt like I was watching a whole new movie of it. And the music was great. I thought it was great.
It is a good one. They did a really good job with that one.
Yes, they did.
What was your first concert?
My first concert was Peter Frampton when I was like 15 years old.
My childhood crush.
Oh, really?
No joke. Peter Frampton in the Sgt. Pepper movie.
Yes.
With the Bee Gees.
But you're way too young for that.
My parents maybe had questionable discernment in what we were allowed to watch as children. But, oh my gosh, there was no one cuter. The hair, the wonky teeth, everything.
What was the song you were like waiting for, Cheryl, like at the concert? Like what was...
Do you feel like I do? That was one of his great big songs.
Awesome. I adore him.
I mean, he's around Nashville. He's such a nice person and he's just crazy talented. And it's just funny. I think I just turned 15 and there were 6 of us girls whose mom took us to the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. And we were like up in the nosebleed and we managed to sneak all the way down to the floor and, you know, and then you meet the person years later.
That's wild.
Yes. Yeah.
So the last question is, well, and then we're going to do some this or that, but what would you like your epitaph to say?
Oh, wow.
Be funny, silly, sweet, whatever.
I would like to say that I left the campground nicer than I found it. Because that has been the one thing my mom and dad always said, you know, whatever you find, you know, if it's trash, pick it up, leave it nicer than how you found it for the next person. And I think that is such a good motto for life.
Yeah. That was part of our school's motto for a little while. I don't know sticking with that, but
yeah. we're that weird family that goes to the beach with a plastic bag and puts all the plastic in it.
I love it.
I appreciate that more than you know.
Yeah, there on Instagram there's a page called Take Three for the Sea. So every time you go to the beach, you're supposed to take three things off the beach that you didn't bring there that don't belong there.
Oh, that's good.
I love that. Good.
Yeah.
You can go take a picture of you take a picture of the three things you took and then you tag them in it and they'll repost it, which
I love that.
Yeah. So it's take three.
We'll take a picture of the three garbage bags that we fill.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Amanda, you got this or that?
I can't do it because I'm on the phone.
Okay. Few quick questions here. These are just, you want this one or this one? Rosé or Froze?
Oh, Rosé.
Read the book or watch the movie?
Read the book.
Drive or be driven?
Be driven.
Okay. Brunch or happy hour?
Would you say brunch or happy hour? Mm-hmm. Probably brunch.
And Spotify or Apple Music?
Oh, wow. I'm going to say Spotify.
I don't know if there's like affiliation there or how that works.
I know. There's no affiliation. I just find it easier to navigate. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. I do too somehow.
See, I'm an Apple Music girl, but I think it's because I just never did anything but iTunes ever.
Yes.
I buy my music on Apple Music, but we have a family Spotify account for streaming music. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do whatever my husband tells me to do because he's the music guy and technology. And I just am like, okay, I don't.
Yeah. I mean, for years for the early part of the introduction to streaming services, I was like, I am never going to stream music. You know, it's just such a ripoff for artists. And now I'm like, yeah, just let me look it up on Spotify. You know, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well,
as they are changing.
Do you have your phone near you? Because we have to like judge you real quick.
Me?
Yeah. We just like to know what the little red dot above the mail says. We want to know how much unread email you have.
Oh gosh. It drives my 13-year-old crazy. let me tell you.
Just unread emails.
Unread emails. Okay, I'm going to them now. Oh my gosh, how do I look it up?
Oh, so when you have it closed, the app should just have a little red dot with the number above it.
Yes, it does. It does. Okay. I have 648 unread emails.
Okay. All right.
She's that's not middle ground.
That's not bad. Yeah. Cause I'm at 170 right now and it's giving me agita. Like, I'm like, I need to go get rid of at least 100 of these.
I know, you know, a lot of it is spam and I just need to go through and select and, you know, remove.
Well, if you want to be shocked, let's hear what Amanda's is at right now. I can't
Amanda,
wait.
What's yours?
Why you got to set me up like
every week? You know, I'm about to vomit.
Okay. Hang on. Let's look.
I want Cheryl to just guess. What do you think?
Like, okay. I'm going to say 1200 and something.
We're at 48,427.
48,000. Are you afraid if you hit select all delete that you'll lose something that you need?
No. No, actually, I have no fear of that. I'm actually very good about checking my emails.
She did it like last year.
I will see them, but I just don't open anything that's not important.
Yeah, so that's me too. That's me too.
It makes me crazy. It makes me crazy. But yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited. Thank you for, oh wait, you know what we didn't talk about real quick was what you're working on, where you're going tonight. We weren't rolling when you said what you were currently working on.
Yes. Tell us.
I am working on a track for Stevie Nicks and it's a song that she wrote a couple of years ago. Yeah. Oops. I dropped that name. Sorry. I dropped it. but the funny thing is, and I've known Stevie for years and I can safely say if it were not for Stevie Nicks, I would not be doing what I'm doing. I mean, she such a huge inspiration for me, you know, all the way back to when I was a kid and then I met her and she's one of those people that is even more fantastic than what you can imagine. And, and I've gotten the chance to produce her in the, you know, years ago and I've toured with her and she's a dear, dear friend. She asked me to do this, this song, but she only works at night. So she will come like about 7. And then she stays up all night and she gets up about maybe 2 or 3.
Oh my God.
And you know, so, and, but I get up at 6 with my kids. You
yeah.
know? So I'm like spinning plates and trying to like,
nap. Are you going to take a nap after this to prepare? I hope you are.
I believe it or not, I got up this morning and I got my kids out the door and I crawled back on the couch and I slept for 3 hours. So
good.
Yes. Yeah. Now I'm ready to go.
Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, good luck with that. We can't wait. Everyone should go get your new album. Listen to your new songs. I love it. Evolution. And thank you so much, girl. You've been so awesome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Just a podcast. Love you guys. Woman at what? Woman at binge.